And we're going to have a little message here. So if we can stand, I'd just like to read three verses out of the Bible. As we're standing, they come out of Matthew's gospel. And in Matthew's gospel, chapter 11, in verse 28, Jesus speaking, he says, "Come to me." Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for the word of God. We're grateful for the people of God. We're grateful for the worship to our living God. We're grateful for our fellowship and our fellowship family. We're grateful for our friends that are with us this morning. We ask, God, your blessing upon this message. We also thank you for the many ministries, God, here locally and around the world that are telling people about Jesus, bringing forth the love of God. We pray for your favor here and in every gathering in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So a very simple message this morning, three words to remember to take with you. The first word is come. Can you say come? Come. Second word is take. Take. And the third word is learn. We can do it backwards. Learn, take, come. Come, take, learn. Last week, my granddaughter stayed overnight with us, and she's 1 year old. And I was in my office early in the morning as she was sleeping and everybody else was. But I was looking for that magical moment when I'd hear just a little noise coming from where she was sleeping, knowing that she'd be awake and probably the first one. And when I heard that noise, I was the first one just to go into that room and to see her standing up in the little crib and just a great smile on her face and so glad to have a morning visitor there to see her. It's an exciting moment, and many parents know that moment. You did all you could and were exhausted as you put them to sleep at night and you needed sleep. But when they wake up in the morning, they're so glad to see you. They're excited. I thought of our own little girls. I forget which one, and maybe all three. But I remember a little saying. They would say in the morning as they stood up in the crib and be shaking it and so excited to see you, they would say, "Hold you me, hold you me, hold you me." I think you get the illustration. So Jesus in chapter 11 of Matthew, as he's began his earthly ministry and as he's been able to teach people, and he's done miraculous signs, the people have seen who he is. And he's summarizing in three verses here. These three verses are fairly well known around the world. These three verses, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He's sending out an invitation, and he's saying for us to come to him, and he's so excited about this relationship we have with him. In a sense, he's saying, "Hold you me? Do you want me? Can I be with you?" This idea of come to me. As we have seen it in the Gospels, it's interesting because as Jesus gives this invitation to come to me, this invitation is for everybody in this whole world. It doesn't matter where you live, what your world's been like, your background, your nationality, it doesn't matter. The invitation is to everybody to come to Jesus. How do we know that for certain? We know that because as we look at the miracles that Jesus has performed, we see the leper who was the absolute outcast of the society, the most defiled person. Jesus is saying to this person, "I'm going to touch you. I want you. You come to me. You come to me." Jesus is calling all of us to come to him. He's asking us to come to him, listen, to come to him for salvation and for those that are saved, to come to him for fellowship. That's what he's asking. We see this continually through the Gospels. It was the friends of a friend that brought somebody to Jesus. And what happened was the house was so crowded, there was no way they could bring their paralyzed friend to Jesus. "Come to me," Jesus is saying. "Come to me," Jesus is saying. These people knew that Jesus is one that would welcome anybody. It doesn't matter what your life situation is. It doesn't matter what you're facing. Jesus is saying, come to me. These people with their friend wanted to bring them to Jesus, wanted to bring this paralyzed man, this paralyzed friend to Jesus. There's no way to get in other than an entry from the roof. They pulled back. If you can imagine the roof at that time, they pulled back the stuff on the roof, and they able to lower him down right in front of Jesus. And there he is. He's right there in front of Jesus. And Jesus is saying, come to me. Has life paralyzed you? Do you find a sense of you're just kind of in a sense frozen right now in life? The Lord Jesus is saying, come to me. And again, it's just not for those that need to come to Christ for salvation. It's for me, for you believers, because out in a boat in the middle of the Mediterranean or the Sea of Galilee, his disciples were there. Christ was asleep on the boat when a storm was happening. The storm was so severe that water was coming into the boat. The disciples waked, they woke up Jesus, and they said to Jesus, don't you care that we're perishing? Jesus is saying, you come to me. You come to me no matter what your situation is. You come to me. Come to Jesus. That's the call. That's the invitation. That's the gospel message. Come to Jesus. Jesus calmed the storms and it brought a sense of assurance to these disciples' lives. Are you afraid to come to Jesus? Come to Jesus. There's another illustration. Many of you are familiar with it. It's not in Matthew's gospel, but in the ministry of Jesus, he needed to bring forth an illustration regarding the prodigal son. In chapter 15 of Luke, there's three situations of people that are lost that need to come to Christ. This specific one is one that we're pretty familiar with, but it's somebody that grew up in a home, grew up with a family, and the son, in a sense, was disgusted with his family, with his mom, with his dad, with his brother. And he felt he needed his own wings, his own liberty. He needed out of the house. And he asked his dad to do a very difficult thing, and that is to liquidate his inheritance now. So, Dad, I don't want to wait around until you die. I want the cash now. I want you to finance my freedom now. Will you liquidate what belongs to me? Give me cash in hand so I can go. I'm done here. I'm tired of you in this place. It's a restraint to me. And the father released the son with the cash in hand. And the son received every fulfilling dream he ever had. He went away to a place. He had friends. He had entertainment. He had fun. He had everything he thought he was really missing out on when he was at home. But it's interesting because there's an expiration date on all our carnality. There's a time where it runs out and you're wondering, what next? What next is come to Jesus? Come to Jesus. In other words, none of us have done anything that would keep us from coming to Jesus. The call right now of Christ is to come to him. And this fellow, when he was finally eating what the pigs ate, literally, that's how he was going to survive. He was in a pig pen, and he came to his senses. And when he came to his clear thinking, he realized what he had done. He realized the heartache he had caused his family and his dad. He realized that in reality, his perspective was a selfish perspective at home. And now his perspective, being out on his own in a sense of freedom, realizing the realities of life. And now from his perspective, it changed. My dad was an awesome dad. My dad took care of us and of other people. If I can just go home and be one of his hired hands, I would be so blessed just to be able to do that. Jesus is saying, come to me. He's saying, come to me. It tells us that when this son was afar off, the dad saw his son. He didn't wait for his son to come to him. He never held hardness of heart. He ran to his son, tells us in Luke 15. He embraced his son, and he just bestowed fatherly love upon this son. The son was so overwhelmed and didn't feel deserving of any kind of this love. He couldn't reconcile it based on his past feelings. But he said, and he knew that he had asked God for forgiveness. Jesus had come into his life. Jesus was there with them. Have you come to Christ? Jesus is calling us. My relationship with the Lord and yours as well is one when I wake up, Jesus says, come to me. You know, the little child that I spoke about, my granddaughter, when all of our little children, when they go to sleep at night, it's as though this video, real video they're watching, this real video of life, of family, they try to stay awake as long as they can, and they go to sleep. And when they wake up, it's as though the video's been on pause, and let's keep it going. I want to see everybody again. I want this world to appear again before me. And in a sense, the Bible tells us the Lord never sleeps nor slumber. He is there for us. Come to Jesus. The second word was take. So come to me, the invitation, all you who are weary and heavy laden. That means that we all qualify. In other words, there's two things that take place in life. We're either physically exhausted, and all of us know that right now. We know what physical exhaustion is. But there's a second exhaustion. There's a second weariness, and it's a spiritual weariness. So even though we were not in Connecticut when everything took place, we realize as believers a sense of overwhelming weariness to our soul, spiritually speaking, when we see that that's our soul, and it zaps strength out of us, out of our soul. And Jesus says, physically and spiritually, I want you to come to me, and I want to provide for you in this weariness. And so in life, we know what it is to work long and work hard and to be physically spent and physically exhausted. We know that. And we know that the cure is probably sleep or rest. But he's saying, please understand, spiritually speaking, it's the same thing. You're spent. You've put yourself out. You're aware of situations beyond your capacity. You long for those prodigals that are away. They're in your mind and in your heart. You know, family members as well that need to come to Jesus. And there's an overwhelming weariness to our soul. And Jesus says, you come. You come. You come to me. And then he says, I want you to take. So he says, take my yoke upon you. That is a word, yoke. When you hear the word yoke, you either think of, I mean joke, but I didn't pronounce it right. Or if I say yoke, you think of an egg or something like that. So at least my mind does. It goes way out and then have to reel it back in. So yoke, we know, in this agrarian time would be something that would be fitted for an ox. So a farmer needed an animal, an ox. And for that ox to do the work for the farmer, to live up to what it's really there for, to do that work, he had to be fitted, that ox, with a yoke. And this would be made out of wood. And here's an interesting point in my study. And in the Bible, Jesus was known as a carpenter, as a profession. There is the carpenter. Isn't he the carpenter's son? And a further explanation of the word carpenter isn't so much as what comes to my mind when you say carpenter. I think of a framer, you know, with a big hammer. But the word carpenter, as it would refer to Jesus, would be more like a finished carpenter. And in other readings, not in the Bible, but in other readings, he could have easily been the type of carpenter that would have crafted. He would be a craftsman, the type of carpenter that would craft this type of a yoke. Remember, he is the master of our life, but he brings the master illustrations. And so here's this yoke. It's going to fit on an ox. And Jesus is saying this, when it fits upon an ox, the farmer also is training that future ox. So what happens as this yoke goes over the main ox, there's another piece right here that is fitted especially for the young ox, the ox that is going to be trained. And so the craftsman would have to make this a perfect fit, so that the ox, the young one, with the seasoned animal, would be able to learn. So Jesus is saying, listen now, he's saying to us, I have something for you. When I said that I want to provide rest for you, I, Jesus speaking, want to do that for you. And here's how I'm going to do it. I am the one who is looking for you to come be right here with me. I'm going to do the work. but I have fitted you personally. I'm the craftsman. I have made something perfect for you, every one of you individually. I have made a abiding relationship with you coming right next to me so that we can work together. I want you to come to me. I want you to know I'm going to do the heavy lifting. I'm going to do all the work, but I want you to learn from me. Let's draw back for just a second, and let's create an illustration of ox that were talking to each other in the field. Totally an illustration. So let's just say, pull it back for a moment, that the main ox is there, and the young ox is over here. And the main ox says, this has been fitted for you. And the young ox says, I'm not interested in that. I don't want to be doing that. I like the greener pastures. I like to go where I want to go. I like the freedom that I could have right now. This looks too restrictive to me. I don't want any part of that. I like the greener acres. And I believe that the seasoned ox would say, you don't know what you're talking about. Because you don't know that the weather's going to be changing pretty soon. And the farmer that I serve, he takes me back to the nice warm barn. And he's got food there for me. He takes care of me. He takes care of me my whole life. And you're not seeing things correctly. You don't understand what's happening. So many of us, when Jesus is saying, come, come to me for salvation, and then come, let me help you. Come next to me. My yoke is easy. I fitted something for you personally, absolutely personally for you. It's right next to me, and I want you to come. And I am paying the heavy freight. I'm going to do the work for you. And Jesus says, come, take my yoke. And then he says, learn of me. So we saw three things this morning. Jesus is sending an invitation to us. Come. Christmas is about Jesus coming to earth so he can extend an invitation to us. Come. Then he's saying, will you take my yoke? Will you come and abide with me? Will you be a part of me? Will you accept my offer to come close to me? I want to teach you about life. And to learn means we want to become more like Jesus. I think a clear evaluation of how this year went for each of us individually would be a question only you can answer and only you can answer personally. And I have to answer that same question. And here's the question. Did I become more like Jesus this last year? The question is, did I become more like Jesus this last year? Did I refuse his offer to come close to him? Did I refuse his offer of being able to be yoked next to him? Because I want to learn of Jesus. So he's saying to all of us here in conclusion, we can't make it through this world. We cannot make it through this life. We were never intended to make it through this life without Jesus. We need Jesus. We need Jesus for salvation. We need Jesus for fellowship and for help and for leadership in our lives. And Jesus says, I am not like any other religious ruler, religious system, any other person that's going to make demands on you. Because he says specifically, I don't know what your fear is, but he says, if you come and if you're with me, I'm going to show you what meekness and what gentleness really is. Jesus Christ is the one, when he had the opposition against him and his disciples were competing for spiritual positioning, he asked them all to be seated and Jesus washed all of their feet. The God of all creation humbled himself and washed each of the disciples' feet. This is the God that says, come to me and I'll show you about life. And I'll help you through life. And I'll give you a purpose for life. Because there's three words that we said today. The first word was what? Come. The second word is to take. And when we come next to Jesus, we truly learn who Jesus is. And the question that we want to answer sometime today, this week, is, did I become more like Jesus this year? That is truly the gain we're looking for. Amen. The worship team is going to lead us in the final song here, if they can come up. And as they're coming up, I remember an illustration of Grandpa being at the grandkids' house, and the little child was just so so obnoxious that day, apparently. Not to Grandpa, but, and this is not a home illustration, it's another one, so don't, there's no dots to connect, okay? But the baby was in the large crib in the room and just carrying on. Grandpa's heart was so touched by that. But the mom said, Grandpa, do not take her out. You leave her in there. She needs to be in there. So Grandpa said, fine. So after a while, everything was really quiet. The mom came into the bedroom quietly, looked in the door, and there's Grandpa sleeping in the crib with a little girl. And we live on this world, this crib here, this earth, this world, and we've been obnoxious to God. We all have sinned. Jesus says to the Father, what are we going to do? The Father says, do not take them out of the world to heaven. There's no way. And Jesus says, then I'm going to come down and be in the crib with them. I'm going to come down here. I'm going to live with them. I'm going to be like them. Whatever they owe, spiritually speaking, I'm going to bear that for them because I love them and I want to take them home to heaven. And that's the way it works. And so that's why Jesus says, you just come. You come. I've paid the price. I left heaven and I came to this crib, to this place, to this earth. I lived amongst you. You come to me. And you've never known real love until you come close to me. I've made a special arrangement, an attachment. You'll feel so close to me. Don't be afraid. You've never known tenderness and humility and love until you come close to me. I've made this specially for you. I'm the master craftsman. It's unique for everybody. It's not a one size fit all. It's this size fits you, custom made. You come close to me. And then the very things you're wondering about life and about yourself and about your future and about your purpose, I'm going to teach you all those things. You'll be able to learn from me because you're close to me and you'll know my love for you and you'll know how to love others as well. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand and we'll have a prayer here. Father, we do thank you this morning for our fellowship, our time together, and thank you for those that are serving in back with the littler ones. Lord, we do thank you for this year that you've given to us. There's still some time left. There's still opportunities for me and each of us to become more like you, and that's our desire. We thank you for the many blessings that you have given to us, the many ways that you have led us, the many ways that you've protected us. And Lord, as we do celebrate Christmas, we realize that the heart's desire of God is that not only would we be reconciled with him, spiritually speaking, listen now, to be in a right relationship with God, but he wants us to be in a right relationship with one another. And that's the Father's desire, and it's all possible through the work of the Holy Spirit of God. May we purposefully in our hearts say, God, may your grace abound that we can please you with our lives and be a blessing to others. As you have blessed us, may we also bless others. Watch over and protect and bless all the family gatherings. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.